Chapter 16. The Spire Which Reaches Heaven. The Church is that institution which affords proof of its utility and is found elevating the race. Mary Baker Eddy. Institution. A textbook. Webster. 1903. The work of a dedicated student in New Bern, North Carolina, came to fruition in the fall of 1903. The lies of a calumniator regarding the life of Mary Baker Glover and her husband, George Washington Glover, in North and South Carolina in the 1840s had led Mary Hatch Harrison to discover the facts for herself. The historical records she uncovered were published in the Wilmington Dispatch of October 24, 1903. Then, Miss Harrison's letter and related historical data, miscellany, page 329, were published in the Christian Science periodicals in November and December. Mrs. Eddy's instructions to Calvin Fry resulted in this letter to Irving C. Tomlinson. Dear Brother Tomlinson, Mrs. Eddy says, please select the Christian Science literature that should go into the box in the cornerstone for the church at New Bern, North Carolina, and request Mr. Armstrong to send it to them, and for him to send the bill for same to Mrs. Eddy. A news item in the New Bern Journal a few weeks later stated, the Christian Scientists of this city are in receipt of a rich New Year's gift from Mrs. Mary Baker G. Eddy, the great leader of the scientists. The gift was $3,000, which is to be used in the erection of the scientists' new church in New Bern. On the 17th of October, Henrietta Schonfrau recorded a watch in which Mrs. Eddy said, quote, when will blind eyes see their leader as she is? End quote. At this same time, while Miss Harrison was working in North Carolina, Mrs. Stetson and her students were working diligently in New York for the dedication of their new edifice. On October 22nd, Mrs. Eddy wrote to Mrs. Stetson, I have taken deep thought on the subject of your telegram, and as I understand it, God gave me the answer that I have sent herewith to your church. The answer which the leader sent to First Church New York read as follows. My beloved brethren, what if your church edifice in the far future be desecrated and used by others? Then your inscription, quote, to the glory of God, end quote, would be a stumbling block. I advise you not to engrave that assertion on stone, but write it on your hearts and demonstrate it in your glorious lives. Let it be at present a silent desire, and God will reward the prayer. A declaration before a preparation of the heart is a hindrance to advancement. The scriptures say, quote, the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord, end quote. The churches were blessed by the leader's messages of guidance and instruction sent to her faithful followers. It would seem that malicious animal magnetism was seeking always to separate these followers from their leader as is evident in this notice from Mrs. Eddy, dated November 13th. Take notice. I hereby notify the public that scurrilous letters purporting to bear my signature, letters of evil intent, that I never wrote, never caused to be written, and never saw until they were given to me by the individuals to whom they were superscribed, are constantly being circulated. But those who know me know that I never wrote them. The November Sentinel, in which this notice was published, also contained the following written on the same date by Calvin Fry. Counterfeit letters. I learn that letters have been received by persons purporting to bear my signature, making complaint against them. One of those declares, I had consulted a lawyer for Mrs. Eddy on what I complained of. I never had consulted a lawyer relative to the subject named. I never wrote those letters, nor knew anything about them, until said parties sent one of those counterfeit letters for me to examine. The denial of such falsehood was but the first step and was followed by this lesson of November 17th, preserved by Lewis Strang. To my household at Pleasant View. The rules of this house do not permit of evil being spoken, thought, or heard. Love rules this and every hour. Malicious animal magnetism is without power, powerless. Darkness is nothing. Mind is all. God is all, and His voice is heard in all places. God judges, and His judgment is sound and righteous. Know this now and every hour. No malicious animal magnetism to lie or hear a lie. God reigns and loveth whom He chasteneth. No work is done until I say it is, and no student will forsake his post in any moment. God is love. Love is all. Truth reigns. Later in November, the leader sent a message to First Church in New York City, Miscellany, page 193, for the dedication of their beautiful $1,250,000 edifice on November 29th. Perhaps her second paragraph pointed toward the future she foresaw for Mrs. Stetson and her church. The letter of your work dies, as do all things material, but the spirit of it is immortal. Remember that a temple but foreshadows the idea of God, the quote, house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, end quote, while a silent, grand man or woman, healing sickness and destroying sin, builds that which reaches heaven. Also in November, the New York Central Christian Science Reading Room Association opened a central reading room under the auspices of representatives from Second, Third, Fourth, and Fifth Churches of New York. This brought a great deal of criticism upon Mrs. Stetson and upon First Church, which was conspicuously absent from the joint venture. The critics had no way of knowing that Mrs. Eddy had written to Mrs. Stetson on October 25th. I did not get your last letter in time to reply before you left New York to your question on selling my books downtown in your city. That movement would be unwise in many ways and would not prosper. Abandon such a thought. You have fulfilled the bylaw in our church, relation to a reading room, and it only remains for you to carry on your reading room and for the downtowners to unite and have a reading room that is centrally located. This is what must be done. The leader was intentionally separating her beloved Augusta and causing her to stand alone. Often it was not easy for Mrs. Stetson to do this. It is possible that the joint venture reading room was her idea in the first place, but her obedience to the leader was instant and unquestioning. Ever and always, the leader was pointing to healing as her true church, and she was always demonstrating this true church in all of her affairs. One such healing in 1903 was that of a seminary student, E. N. Lamore. As acting pastor of the Methodist Episcopal Church at Bow, New Hampshire, young Mr. Lamore sent out an appeal for funds to repair their church building. The response to this appeal, which he received from Mrs. Eddy, was not at first appreciated. She had offered to contribute $50 toward a bell if they could raise the balance of the cost, an expense and project they had not even considered. However, others soon pledged the difference, which amounted to $95, and Mrs. Eddy was so notified. Her response this time, a check for $100, confused the young pastor, who called at Pleasant View to learn her intentions. She explained that $50 was toward the bell, and the other $50 was for repairs. And he explained, in answer to her query, that he could not see a thing without the heavy glasses he was wearing. When he got home from Pleasant View that day, he found that he could not read a thing until he took his glasses off. A half century later, his wife wrote that from the time of his visit with Mrs. Eddy in 1903, Mr. Lamore's eyesight was perfect and remained so for the rest of his life. On December 3, 1903, Mrs. Eddy answered the telegram from Mrs. Stetson and her church officers, in which they presented her with their new edifice. In declining this munificent gift, miscellany, page 194, Mrs. Eddy said that she would, quote, gratefully accept the spirit of it, end quote. One more letter from the leader to Mrs. Stetson in December said, quote, my precious student, read Science and Health, page 576. And read through that chapter, end quote. Could this have been one more effort to turn this student away from the temple made with hands? Page 576 in Science and Health states, quote, there was no temple, that is, no material structure in which to worship God, for he must be worshiped in spirit and in love, end quote. Her true church was embodied in her textbook. To Mr. McClellan, she wrote in December, quote, Advertise always on this circular, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. End quote. This could probably apply to most, if not all, of the leaflets they published. The gift of a beautiful otter robe brought the leader, quote, warmth without weight, end quote, on her daily drives, and she thanked the donor graciously. December 6, 1903. Mr. Carpenter, CSB. Beloved student, each day when sitting under the warmth of the fine fur robe you gave me, I say, what a nice thing it is. Would that the good giver of it knew how comfortable it makes me, and I will write it to him. This is my thanks to such a soul as thine, who loves to do good. God bless you with the heavenly robe of righteousness and its sweet rewards. Sincerely yours, Mary Baker Eddy. A December news item about the ground occupied by New Harlem in New York City included this dispatch from Mary Baker Eddy to the New York Herald. Over an article on the above subject published in The World, November 27th, you said, quote, the followers of Mrs. Eddy plan to establish a new Jerusalem here, end quote. Allow me to state I knew nothing of the Harlem movement until recently, when receiving a book written on the subject. Said book I have not read, and am not at all concerned in the history of New Harlem, or the building of a New Jerusalem, since, as I apprehend it, the New Jerusalem, quote, cometh down from heaven, end quote, and is not an outcome of litigation. Christian Scientists are not, to my knowledge, interested in locating heaven, but in finding it within themselves. Part of the lesson for the workers at Pleasant View on December 7th was, quote, what we most need is wisdom. God is Father and Mother. One, the Christ reflects the male and female principle. One, not two. The end of the belief in male and female as two will be when woman stops childbearing. End quote. And on December 17th, she told them, quote, it was not the material cross that killed Jesus, but it was the desertion of his students that killed him. End quote. During Christmas week, the Concord Evening Monitor reported, at the Unitarian Church, on Sunday, a Christmas gift of $300 from Mrs. Mary Baker G. Eddy was announced and was acknowledged by a rising vote of thanks. During the erection of their new church, the Christian Scientists of this city have been worshiping in the Unitarian edifice. The leader's Christmas lesson to her household workers in 1903 was, let us take heart as a token of our Christmas, the great heart of Christ. It is the palpitating presence encircling the universe. It is the only intelligence, and that is what? Love. Could there be anything greater? A few days before this, on December 21st, Mrs. Eddy had executed a new deed for the two lots on which the publishing rooms stood, and which would soon be used for the extension of the Mother Church. This new deed contained the further trusts regarding, quote, no new tenant or bylaw, end quote, and also the wording, quote, Mary Baker G. Eddy's Church, etc., end quote. Perhaps these commandments were in her thought when she wrote a Christmas letter to her board of directors, December 27, 1903. My beloved students, may this dear Christmas season be to you a Christ risen, a morn, the break of day. There is nothing jubilant attached to the birth of a mortal that suffers and pays the penalty of his parents' misconception of man and of God's creation. But there is a joy unutterable in knowing that Christ had no birth, no death, and that we may find in Christ, in the true sense of being, life apart from birth, sorrow, sin, and death. Oh, may your eyes not be holden, but may you discern spiritually what is our Redeemer. I thank you, dear ones, for your kind remembrance of me, the most lone and perhaps the most loved and hated of earth. May you watch and pray that you keep the commandments and live the Sermon in the Mount this coming year. Watch, too, that you keep the commandments that experience has compelled to be written for your guidance and the safety of Christian Science in our church manual.